This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes, not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, what is a 1031 exchange? I'm sure you guys have heard brought up before. At least I know on our shows we've mentioned it a number of times. I thought I'd just have a little factual tip here to kind of update you on what exactly a 1031 exchange. Well, many people who sell an investment property believe that federal capital gains from that sale must always be handed over to the IRS. Well, this is not always the case. The IRS Code Section 1031 offers investors the opportunity to reinvest federal capital gains from a sale if you swap that property for another. And it does not always have to be for like property either. Instead, as an investor, you could have that money work for you rather than end up in the hands of the IRS. Further, you do not have to sell your property for the exact same type of property either. The 1031 code indicates that no gains or losses will be recognized on the exchange of any type of business use or investment property for any other business use or investment property. So how do you define a 1031? According to Investopedia, a 1031 exchange is a section of the U.S. Internal Revenue Service Code that allows investors to defer capital gains taxes or any exchange of like-kind properties for business or investment purposes. Taxes on capital gains are not charged on the sale of a property if the money is being used to purchase another property. The payment of tax is deferred until property is sold with no investment. So breaking it down, the idea behind the section of the tax code is that when an individual or business sells a property to buy another, no economic gain has been achieved. There has simply been a transfer from one property to another. For example, if a real estate investor sells an apartment building to buy another one, he or she will not be charged tax on any gains or profits. When the investor sells the original apartment building and purchases a new one, the value used from the original to buy the new one has not changed. The only thing that's changed is where the value is being held. So what does this mean? How can this help you? If you own a business or an investment property, you should consider a 1031 exchange. You would be able to defer 100% of both federal and state capital gains tax. 1031 exchanges, in essence, become interest-free loans where the principal may increase through future exchanges, allowing the exchanger to never pay back if the transactions are planned well. So you could just keep, in other words, upgrading from one property to the next property to the next property and not have to worry about paying any kind of capital gains. Sometimes people think it's more complicated than it is, and they just say, forget it, I'll pay the capital gains tax, the 15% or whatever it is, and avoid the hassle. But it's really not as complicated as it may seem. If you are apprehensive about a 1031 exchange, here's some interesting facts that will hopefully help you make the decision easier. At one time, exchanges were only done to switch like investment properties to the same person swapping for your own. But this is not the case anymore. In fact, you can sell your own property to someone who does not have a relationship to the person from whom you are purchasing the replacement property. So it's important to know that like-kind properties once meant the same, condo for condo, empty lot for empty lot, but that is no longer the case. If you have invested your money in an empty lot, but wish to exchange for an apartment building, that too is possible. And again, no taxes would be paid for the sale of the vacant lot when following the guidelines, again, of the 1031 exchange. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Okay, so like-kind refers to the nature of the investment rather than the form. Any type of investment property can be exchanged for another type of investment property. A single-family residence can be exchanged for a duplex, raw land for a shopping center, or for an office of apartments. Any combination will work. The exchanger has the flexibility to change investment strategies to fulfill their needs. Also, many believe only investors of large commercial properties can utilize a 1031. That's not true. One of the greatest features about a 1031 is that it applies to all investment properties, large and small. A 1031 exchange works the same way for a corporation selling a large shopping mall as it would for an individual selling a single-family property used for rental purposes. Many believe 1031 exchanges are complicated and not worth investigating. Well, consider working with a qualified intermediary. That's really important. Somebody who can offer you professional advice and direction. And there are people that is their business, is they are qualified intermediaries specifically for 1031 exchanges. The exchanger can acquire a replacement property with greater income potential. So that's one of the advantages of the 1031 is that, you know, if you buy right and you've got all this equity in this property, when you sell it, you can buy a bigger property. Or, for example, raw land can be sold to acquire income-producing property or a larger, more ideally located property. A duplex rental property can be exchanged for four family investment properties, for example. So there's a lot of options there that you can deal with. Let me just cover some of the quick questions that many people have too, just some of the basics of 1031s. Why would somebody do it? Number one, to defer capital gains tax on the sale of commercial, business, or investment property. Is it a gimmick, a loophole? No, I mean, this is perfectly legal. Section 1031 has been a part of the Internal Revenue Code since 1920s. What type of property is eligible? Your residence is not eligible. So your home you're living in, your personal home, is not. It has to be something used for commercial, business, or investment purposes. Is it only for capital gains? No. Section 1031 applies to capital gains taxes, depreciation, recapture, state income taxes. Long-term capital gains taxes apply to property held over 1 year. So gains from property held less than a year are typically taxed as ordinary income. How do I start a 1031 exchange? Well, you must contact the person I mentioned before, a qualified intermediary, before, and that's emphasis, before you sell your property so that you can complete the appropriate documentation. Do I have to use a qualified intermediary? You don't have to, but it's better, if you try to use your own attorney or CPA, their interest is not, the fact that they've been working with your business does not make them sort of give you that safe harbor protection that, you'd want to have. Do I have to know what property I will be purchasing when I start the exchange? No. You have 45 days from the sale of your relinquished property to identify your potential replacement properties. And then how long do I have to purchase my replacement property? Then you have 180 days from the sale of your relinquished property by which you must close on the purchase of your replacement property. So you have 45 days to find one, 180 days, and that's included in the 45 days, 180 days total to actually buy, close escrow on that other property. How many potential replacement properties may I identify? There's a three-property rule. You must identify up to three properties without regard to their value. So even before you sell your property, you could even find and locate three properties. Again, you have to start and fill out the forms before then. There's also something called the 200% rule, which means you may identify more than three properties, provided that their combined fair market value does not exceed 200% of the value of the relinquished property. There's also the 95% rule. It says you may identify any number of properties provided that you acquire 95% of the fair market value of these properties. Do I have to acquire a property of equal or greater value? Yes, in order to completely defer the applicable capital gains tax, you do have to do that. Do I have to use all the cash proceeds from my sale on my purchase? Yes, you must use all your cash proceeds. If you don't, you can, you know, you don't have to. You could, you know, pull some out for yourself, but you will be taxed on the amount that you do not apply there. Do I have to obtain a mortgage on my replacement property in the same amount or same percentage of debt as I had on my relinquished property? No. Just follow what I mentioned. Does seller financing jeopardize my exchange? Seller financing is considered a boot. In other words, it's other money that's coming in that's not part of this. So you just, again, I would talk to your advisor for that, the people that are going to help set this up for you. May I purchase replacement property that is not yet built? Yes, you may purchase replacement property that is not yet built, provided that the improvements on the property are completed prior to the expiration of 180 days. So, you know, I don't know if you could build something in 180 days. Yeah, you know, that'd be comparable to what you'd want to purchase, but that also goes for any kind of construction that you might do in there as well. May a corporation or partnership be involved in a 1031? Yes, provided the entity selling the relinquished property is the same as the entity purchasing. Okay, so that has to be the distinction there. How long must I hold my current property in order for it to qualify? When looking at investment intent, the courts will often look to the period of time over which the property is held. That said, there is no specific holding period requirement for either the relinquished or the replacement property. Taxpayers who hold their relinquished property for 2 years satisfy the requisite intent for a 1031 exchange or two tax reporting periods. A holding period of over a year has generally been accepted, though. What if I live on part of the property? Well, if you live on part of it, you can split the transaction between the 1031 exchange and a personal residence exemption. You know, but it gets, again, you have to talk to your intermediary. What about a second home? If the taxpayer has claimed a residence as a second home in their tax, they cannot use the 1031 exchange. Let's see, what else do I have? May I do a 1031 and later move in the replacement property as my personal residence? Yes, but then you're going to have to go into that other exemption, which applies to taxpayers for personal residence. What about foreign properties? Property within the U.S. must be exchanged for property within the U.S. So answer is no. What happens when I need to make a down payment on my replacement property? Your qualified intermediary may directly wire the down payment from the funds on your behalf. Alternatively, you may make the down payment and be reimbursed at the closing of the purchase. I hope that helps you out. I hope you know a little bit more about 1031 exchanges. And if not, I've got all the notes on this. Everything I talked about today will be in our show notes. So that's at the olddogsreinetwork.com. site/blog, and there you will just look up this episode and you can get all the information that was discussed. Well, when I add just one last thing too, I am not a licensed nor qualified to provide legal and or tax advice. The statements made in this podcast should be verified with your own competent tax and or legal advisor who has specific information about your particular situation. You should not only rely on your own competent tax and or legal advisor's advice. Nothing noted above is tax and or legal advice. Did I make that clear? Okay. The above information is in general in nature and is for general information purposes only. That is it for today, guys. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.